this morning. We've enjoyed the meeting immensely.
The
preaching has hit me between the eyes every service. Thank God for it. Praise the Lord. Don't you appreciate the word of the Lord when it talks to you and deals with you? Amen. Many times as a young preacher, I'd crawl in my closet and I'd go to praying, Lord, where art thou? If you'd just speak. Been times when I thought, if you'll just chasten me, just so I could feel your hands and feel your presence. I'm so desperate for the presence of the Lord. I've learned as I got older, he's talking every time I open the pages of his book. If I'll just listen. Praise the Lord. I don't know if I tried to argue with God this morning, but I was trying to convince him that my mind was too scattered to get up here and try to preach. Really do need the Lord to help us here. My dad called me yesterday very distraught. He had he's made mention to me about some things concerning my mother, and though we knew that it could possibly be serious, yet she really never took it serious. But he called me yesterday and he said, son, where are you? And I said, I'm in camp meeting, Dad. That's the reason why you didn't get me. He said, well, good. I need you to go to prayer. My mom's been waking him up at night over the last several months, and she'll say, there's somebody out in the yard.
Wow.
At first he was alarmed. He'd get up, he'd look, and he'd say, there's nobody out there. Just go back to bed. But he told me, he said, it's getting worse now. She woke him up the other night and said, there's people in the house. I'm hearing voices. Said, when she talks, she's out of her head. Doesn't make any sense. I said, Dad, that don't sound good. And we'll go to prayer. And I thought, Lord, we need help.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Need help. I want to try to preach to us here this morning. I want the Lord to really help us. I got a friend that I call quite often. He'll ask me, did you dance down the Milky Way? Did you leapfrog over Jupiter? And did you somersault by Mars? And did you fling the stars? And, of course, I was told you're not legally able to grade yourself. But I'd tell him, I don't think so. But I thought, Lord, if you'll help me this morning, I sure would like to be able to dance down the Milky Way. Praise the Lord. Not that I want any glory. God won't give you the glory, but just for my feeling's sake, I'd really like to feel that if I could. Praise the Lord. I turn to 1 Kings this morning, chapter number 18. And if I can get this like he was giving it to me Monday coming down Interstate 81, that would be wonderful. But we'll see. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse number 38. First Kings chapter 18, verse number 38. The Bible said, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. May we see the mercies of the master, and they'll not be the madness of the minister this morning. Praise the Lord. When we look at these verses of scripture, it's quite easy for us to take look at this with the understanding of what a great triumph this has taken place on Mount Carmel. I mean, he rebuilds the altar, he lays the wood in order. He puts the sacrifice thereon, prays that simple but yet powerful prayer, and then the fire of the Lord falls. What a triumph. What a great, great time it was. And then to cap it all off, to hear Israel, that apostate nation, if you will, turn and say, the Lord is the God. You know, that's revival. And that is a time of great triumph. But if we're not careful when we read this, when we read these verses of Scripture and we look at this, we get so caught up in the victory and we get so caught up in the triumph that we really lose the essence of the story, if I can say that, of what has happened prior to this. There were some things that Elijah went through before he ever got to Mount Carmel. Huh? Now, I know this morning that every one of us in here, we love it when we receive those times of great triumphs. Man, we love it when the sweet times come in life, don't you? And victory comes into our soul. We rejoice in that. We long for it. When we see it take place in others' lives and we read about it here, and we desire within ourselves, I'd like to have that kind of experience too. Praise the Lord. But there's something that we miss in that. You see, long before Elijah ever got to Mount Carmel, long before he was ever able to rebuild this altar and go through the process that he did, and the fire of God fell in his life, there were some dark times. There were some bitter times that he would face. Praise God. Want to go back to the 17th chapter, and Elijah just seems to just burst onto the scenes. The first thing that he does, he's prophesying unto the king that there's not going to be any rain nor dew according to my word. Praise the Lord. Now, God has dealt with him, but he tells the king according to my word, this is not going to happen. And then God thrusts him from the limelight, so to speak, and he's thrust into this valley place, this dark place. Amen. I know this first verse of 17th chapter also seems like a time of victory. I mean, to be able to stand before great men and say, according to my word, it's not going to rain. And you're going to have great drought. There's going to be great trouble. And it come to pass. I mean, that would seem like pats on the back and attaboys and be able to say, man, boy, I'm going somewhere. But I want you to notice what God did to this man. He puts him in a valley. He sends him to a brook to dwell. You see, long before he ever built an altar on Mount Carmel, he had to first learn how to build altars in his valley. Hallelujah. I want the Lord to help me here this morning. I'm nervous as I can be, but he had to learn how to build altars in his valley. And what a great task, what a great thing, if I can say it like that, that he done when he built that altar or rebuilt the altar on Mount Carmel. It had been destroyed. It had been torn down by the nation. So it took great courage and it took great ability for him to, in the face of all of that congregation, to do something that they've already expressed they didn't have a desire for. He learned that courage, if you please, when he was down by that brook in a place of solitude. Amen. Now, it would be easy for him. He's cut off. He has been hidden by God. I understand that he's hidden by God. Amen. As far as Ahab is concerned. But for this man of God to be placed in this place of solitude, that's the last place you want to be. Cut off, amen, nobody to communicate with, and no doubt probably wondered where was the presence of God at and the dealing of God. God, you just spoke to me and told me to tell him there's not going to be any rain, and now I can't seem to find you. And it would be easy in that valley of seclusion to be overcome and overwhelmed and lose patience and not build our altar and seek the face of God. Hallelujah. Amen. He's in this valley, and so he must learn patience by the brook. Praise the Lord. Now, as Brother Hyde made mention, I love it. Just let me get up. Let me go find a tree stand somewhere or another. I really don't care if I see a deer or anything. It's just that solitude, that quietness, that time alone. Yeah, I love it. But there comes a time when the stand, that's enough of that, and I'm ready to get down. I'm, you know, you're ready to converse, you're ready to get to where there's some life at, so to speak, and life seems to be a little bit better, but he's in a place of seclusion. I hope the Lord helped me here this morning. Amen. You see, that Mount Carmel experience was a great exploit, but you see, great exploits only come after a time of great trial. God does not give us responsibility. He's not going to lay power and authority into our hands until he's first took us down into his wash pot, until he's done put us in that refining fire, and he's put us through the test to ensure that we're able to handle it. Amen. None of us like the bitter things in life. Amen. But we must learn to deal with the bitter before we can have the sweet. I know that, no doubt, that Elijah felt like, man, I preached and there's no rain coming, and man, my ministry's going to go somewhere, but now he's by the brook. He's in a place of seclusion. David, that young man, he's anointed to be the king. I mean, that's a settled issue. When Samuel walks out of the house and the oil is still freshly running down David's forehead, he's anointed to be king over Israel. That is settled. It's done with Saul, but David's going to be king. But did you notice he didn't ascend the throne? Amen. He wasn't ushered to the palace. There were no sounding of trumpets. Amen. There was no riding upon a donkey. Amen. But he had to go back to the pasture. He had to go back to the valley, and he had to spend time by the brook. Hallelujah. Amen. There in the seclusion, he would learn how to hear the voice of God. It was in that time of quietness. Amen. As Paul had been converted, or Saul converted, amen, he would write to us later on that when he went into that desert place and he'd received the revelation from God and not from men, it was during those times he learned the voice of God. Hallelujah. It would be easy for us to despise the delay. I mean, we're going somewhere, and we want to get there. The last thing I hate to see when I'm on an interstate is a sign that says road closed, detour. And it's about like when I done my CDL test and had to drive that big rig that I had, and they put me on a course down a street that a truck didn't have no business being on, and the instructor told me it didn't have no business being there, but they said we got to come down through here, and here I am with my trailer and I've got a detour. It's frustrating. It's aggravating. It's bad enough that it's costing me time, and it's costing me fuel, and it ain't getting no cheaper. Amen. But now also I've got to take this apparatus through such a difficult place. And that's the way we feel in the spiritual realms. Amen. When God seems to put a delay in our life or a detour, amen, I don't want to go through there. But you see, sir, you've got to learn patience, how to build altars in your valley if you're ever going to have an altar on your mountaintop. Hallelujah. Amen. What a setback of seclusion after such a time of victory. Amen. But he would learn patience there. I mean, being fed by ravens twice a day and the progressives, that'll work on your patience. I don't doubt God working for me. I don't doubt God moving in my life. I don't doubt the ability of God to fix or to do something. Amen. But what works on me is not knowing how long I've got to be here before he shows up on the scene and works for me. Amen. Lord, how long do I have to suffer in my body? How long do I have to deal with the mechanical breakdowns? How long, God, do I have to go through this before you're going to show up? Amen. Lord, amen, instead of it getting better, it seems like things are getting worse. Amen, the rain
grass. The brook's drying up. But there, sir, my patience is being put to the test. It's being tried by God, and it's by strengthened, and it's being renewed and enlarged. Hallelujah. Amen. But the brook's gone. The ravens are no longer coming. Now what's Elijah going to do? God says, I want you to go down to Zarephath. I want you to go down. I mean, it's bad enough to be by this brook, but now I've got to go down, amen, to a widow's house in Zarephath. That takes, amen, not only patience, but that's going to take perseverance and faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I was in boot camp, 200 pounds, the TI said, is that a beer gut or is that baby fat? It's baby fat. I mean, there wasn't no way I was ever going to drink any alcohol. Amen. Because I knew what daddy would do if I did. And he makes a road guard out of me. That means I had to run all the time, all day long. Amen. I got in PT. We're in formation. We're running. My heart feels like it's going to bust. I drop out when those four or five or six TIs got through with me screaming and hollering. There wasn't no complaining about being tired. There wasn't no complaining about hurting. There was no time to complain. Amen. When they got through with me, I was back in formation. What were they doing? They were teaching me, you got to get above the pain. You got to get beyond the difficulty. You got to get beyond the strain, and you've got to learn how to persevere. Hallelujah. Amen. I learned another lesson. I knew just as sure there was a beginning to that run, there was an ending to it. And if I could just endure hardness long enough, I knew there was a finish line somewhere up ahead. Hallelujah. Amen. Elijah did not know when the finish line was coming. All he knows is I gotta go down. Amen. To Zarephath. It's only gonna get worse. But there he will endure. And while he endures, God is doing a work in his life. Praise God. Amen. You see, in by the brook and while at the widow's house, he's going to come to a place of reflection. He's going to see himself as God sees him. Praise the Lord. I told my wife the other day, I said, honey, I'm sorry. I said, I know evangelizing. I mean, it's a given. It's a given, and I'm not complaining. It's a given. There's going to be a struggle. There's going to be difficulty. There's going to be hardness with it. We accept that. We know that. But I said, I feel like, because maybe I've been too stubborn or really feel like sometimes maybe struggled to learn or struggling to understand or slow to learn. That's what I'm trying to say, that I've made things harder or made the trial to last longer than what it was intended. Amen. But I can see there Elijah is in that place of solitude, and then he's driven down into Zarephath. Amen. In a foreign land. Amen. It's there that he's beginning to get a glimpse of himself as God sees him. And he's got to come to grips with things. You see, David had to go back to the pasture before he could get to the palace, because he was going to have to learn how to deal with lions and bears in his own life before he's ever able to reach that place of triumph and face Goliath. He's got to deal first with the inadequacies and the failures and the shortcomings, amen, the sins in his own life. Huh? I know. I thought, Lord, where in the world I'm going to hook up this morning? And I don't know if it's a hooking. Praise the Lord. But, amen. I know we want life to always be smooth. I do. Amen. I want to be careful in saying this, because I'm not complaining. I just got that big red rig out of the shop. Just maintenance, just odding in things that I always wanted to deal with, and I finally got the chance. I get up to West Virginia at Brother Road Caps, And he looks under my truck and he said, boy, that's a big old puddle or something. He says, your air conditioner put off a lot of water. And I said, yeah. And he said, well, maybe that's the air conditioner. He leaves. And it's about 9 o'clock at night. I unhook. I move the truck. It wasn't water. It was a big old puddle of oil. And they had just done work on the oil pan. And the materials that they used didn't set up. But they turned to goo. And it allowed the oil to run out of the back of the pan. Hallelujah. I thought, Lord, what a trial of my patience and a trial of my faith. Hallelujah. Amen. But you see, as I've dealt with those things, I realize that God is working on me. Huh? Working on my patience. I know we want life to go smooth, but I finally have reached a place, as the brother said yesterday, if it blows up, it just blows up. I mean, the clear coat's a peeling and it's a fading and starting to rust. And I mean, used to, when I was a younger man, that would just eat me up. I can't handle that. When something tears up, I want to fix it. I want it to stay perfect. I want it to be right. Amen. But the point was, Brother Rocat, we're leaving the mechanic shop. They told us how much the bill was going to be. And he looked at me and he said, brother, you could have crossed every T. You could have dotted every I. You could have done everything perfect. Amen. But life is life. And it's just going to happen. Hallelujah. And it's in these dark times, sir and ma'am, that God proves us and tries us and trains us. There's going to be a Mount Carmel. Do you hear me? There's going to be a time of triumph. There's going to be a time when the glory of God comes down. But right now, we've got to just deal with the bitter. Praise God. That woman comes in before Jesus. She breaks the alabaster box and pours it on him. His disciples said, what great waste. She was being mocked. Her worship, her service was being mocked. She's an insignificant, just a nobody, if you please. But Jesus said, leave her alone. For what she has done shall be remembered. Then my mind raced over to the book of Acts. Cornelius, he's a Gentile, a Roman centurion, a devout man, amen, who served God, the Bible said. Amen. The angel of the Lord appears before him and said that thine alms and thy gifts, they've come up before God as a memorial. I got to looking at that. God don't forget nothing. He knows everything. What does this mean, God? A memorial. Amen. You're ever looking. You're ever knowing. You're ever seeing. Amen. But God said, I finally got him where I want him. Amen. And his true service has come up before me, and I'm pleased with it. And because I'm pleased with it, I'm going to send Peter down there, and he's going to have revival. Hallelujah. He's going to have his Mount Carmel. I come to tell somebody this morning, amen, you're just going to have to endure. You're just got to keep running. You're just got to stay with it and prove faithful. God will allow that to come up before him as a memorial. And when he looks at it after a while, he'll say, that's enough. That's it. I'm not going to let it go no further. And he's going to send forth his power. Woo! But if we're not careful, we despise the delays. We pout about the Brooks, and we complain about the widow's house. Praise God. I mean, yeah, I wish my barrel was full or running over. But I thought something, Brother Dexter told me, he told me something. Probably a few years ago, he said, I'm going to fast and pray. I'm going to find out. He's talking about my ministry. He said, I'm going to find out from God why the doors ain't opening. Some time had passed. He calls me up, and he said, I can't get an answer on that. God won't answer me. He said, but I do have this. He spent 30 minutes giving me various scriptures, and I can't remember them. But he made a statement I've never forgot. He said, son, you may be on the bottom with the bear on top of you right now, and you're looking through the side peephole to look up. He said, but if you'll hang on, amen. He said, after a while, you're going to take that bear off, and God's going to fill it full of goodies, and you're going to be able to reach into it and enjoy the blessings of the Lord. I want to tell you, amen, when I looked in that barrel, amen, and I know the last handful of meal's been pulled out, and I know the last drop of oil has been used, and I look back again by hope and by faith, that God's going to keep me. There's going to come a day, sir. There's going to come a day, ma'am. Amen, and it's going to be just a handful on purpose, that he's going to cause her to be running over, pressed down, and shaken together. There will be a Mount Carmel. You know, David, he finally does make it from the pasture to the palace, but he's just a harp player. It looks like he's going somewhere, but he's just a harp player. And I know you probably ain't never been that way, but I've been in my valleys and I thought, man, I'm coming out. This is it. This is my revival. As Brother Morgan, our pastor, used to say, when God woke him up at 3 o'clock in the morning and said, let the weak say, I'm strong. He said, man, I come out of that bed saying, this is revival for me. I'd come up many times thinking, man, this is revival. And I realized later on it was just a little knoll. And when I got to the top of it, amen, it just let me see just how much further, longer, and wider things were. Hallelujah. Huh? Amen. David gets to the palace, and all he is a harp player. And he finds himself having to dodge javelins. Praise God. Huh? I mean, have you ever been there when you thought, man, I've got this dealt with. I'm through with this mountain. I won't have to come back here. And a few years later, next thing you know, there you are again. Huh? I like what the brother said yesterday morning. I mean, there have been many times I thought, Lord, I never thought you'd have done that to me. I never thought you would have took me through there. I never thought you would make me have to go. I thought I learned my lesson. I know it took me a while, God, but I thought I finally got that learned pretty good. And here we go again. Hallelujah. I'm having to dodge javelins. Amen. Praise God. You see, he learned to build altars in his valley. Amen. His sacrifice that he laid out before God that was spotless. Amen. And holy. He had learned how to be the sacrifice through his time of great trial. He had learned how to give himself to God wholly and completely. Amen. You see, long before you get to Mount Carmel, amen, and says within themselves, I want that too. They don't know the backstory. Amen. I said they don't know the backstory. They don't know where he's come from. But he's learned to build altars. Amen. Through his dark times, he's learned to be the living sacrifice and give himself to God. He's learned how to pray when he couldn't pray. Amen. He's learned how to feel after God when he couldn't feel God. And now on the mountain, he's able to pray and the fire of God falls. I come to tell you this morning, just hang on. God's not through. Huh? God's not through. He knows what he's doing. Praise the Lord. I know it looks like he's lost control sometimes. I know it looks like he doesn't care. Sometimes if we're not careful, we get the erroneous thinking, well, I must have didn't do it good enough, or I must have failed. But the Word of God doesn't encourage us through that. But he tells us through much tribulation. Huh? Now, I know this morning you want the preacher to preach you out of your valley. You want us to tell you the sun's going to shine today or tomorrow in your life. You want somebody to take you by the hand and prophesy over you that the storm is going to cease. But I just come to tell you this morning, you're just going to have to square up, and you're just going to have to go through it. I'm not trying to re-preach nobody's message. I want to tell you, Hallelujah. You've got to take the bitter before the sweet. Huh? Are you out there this morning? Huh? Hallelujah. If God's going to count you faithful to give you great things, then you've got to prove faithful in the little things. If God's going to move with great authority and power in your life, put you on Mount Carmel, He's got to try you to see if you're trustworthy or not in the little things. Praise the Lord. Amen. My son's trying to go to school to be a doctor. I mean, he's so smart until he's dumb. He ain't got a lick of common sense. It's a miracle that he could even bend over and tie his shoes. And I'm not exaggerating. The boy ain't got no common sense. Amen. Hallelujah. Got him a little job down at the Sonic Hamburger Joint. Told his mama yesterday, he said, "Mama, I do pretty good filling up the, you know, a drink or making a shake. But when they give me an order to how to build a hamburger," he said, "I just can't seem to grasp it. And I'm not moving fast enough." But I've told him many times, "Son, when you get that job, amen, you got to pick them up and put them down a little bit faster. You can't drag around about it. You cannot be slothful about it. Amen. When they give you instructions, you need to pay attention to the minute details, and you got to be able to carry it out." Come on, friend. That's what God does with us by the brook. Amen. And in Zarephath, He wants us to learn how not only to hear His voice, amen, and listen to His voice, but how to obey His voice. Praise God. I mean, why didn't they just give me a uniform? Give me a sheet of paper like they eventually did and says, "You're going to Immendorf Air Force Base in Anchorage, Alaska, and you're going to pour concrete and lay asphalt and operate equipment." Why didn't they do that at 2 o'clock in the morning when I got to Lackland Air Force Base in Texas? I mean, you know, they had to train me to be a soldier first. They had to teach me how to obey orders. Amen. Come on here. I'll never forget that T.I. when he walked out. I mean, with sunshades on at 2 o'clock in the morning. But he says, "I'm going to be your mama. I'm going to be your daddy. Everything you've ever been taught in life is wrong. I'm going to retrain you the right way." And he spent 6 weeks ripping us down and then rebuilding us. Huh? I know salvation is wonderful, isn't it? Hallelujah. Amen. And oh man, for a little while the honeymoon is sweet and the sun is shining. But then God goes to work and He starts ripping us down. Amen. What do you mean ripping me down? I thought salvation repaired us and made us brand new. It does in one sense, but in the other sense, we're going to a heavenly place. Amen. But before we can get to that heavenly place, He's got to make us into that that is fit and worthy for it. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to tell you, get in closing. There is coming your Mount Carmel. Just prove faithful. Amen. By your brook. Amen. I said, just prove faithful by